Hello and welcome to episode number 3 of the WP Cafe Show. Me, Keith Devon.
And with me, Mark Wilkinson. Hello, everyone. How are you doing? Episode 50. Oh. We've made it. Hey.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Cool.
Very cool.
It's good.
I'm hearing a really weird echo from you. I don't know if everyone else is hearing that. Let us know in the comments.
Goodness sakes. Literally, we're just online and it sounded fine. Yeah. 2 seconds ago, let me just double check audio settings.
Anyway, hopefully it'll be resolved.
Yeah,
maybe it's just me.
Have you got YouTube show playing on another tab? Bet you
no. I haven't got YouTube open.
that's great. I just got to share this. This already. Marcus just said, "Oh my god." I was sleeping with my headphones on. So we've just woke us up. That is great. Sorry, Marcus. Back to sleep. Very good. So today, let us know if you're hearing a weird echo in the comments. We'll try to sort it. We thought we'd do something slightly different today is take a bit of a look back at as WordPress professionals. And how things changed, and some of the challenges that we had along the way. Yeah, basically how we've got from where we were to where we are today, and hopefully there's something interesting along the way for people. Certainly interesting for us to think back over how it all started and some of the projects that we've worked on, phases of our business and how our business is. Yeah, evolved. There seems to be a bit of an audio issue. Let me see if I can do something about it.
I think you might have to just pull that mic out and see if you can use your AirPods, perhaps. Maybe it's the cable or something, I'm not sure. It's causing a bit of an issue. Anyway, live podcasts. Hey, this is what happens on live podcasts. It was literally fine a minute ago when we were testing it, setting it up. Anyway, hello to everyone. Hello, Peter and Munch92 and Marcus. Sorry, I woke you up there. And Tony. Hi, Tony. Thanks for joining us. So today is going to be a bit of a how do we get to where we are now as High Rise Digital doing what we do? Hopefully you'll find it interesting in terms of like where we all started and how we got into WordPress and how that journey's developed and got us to where we are today. So while Keith's fiddling around with his audio, I'll kick us off. What we thought we'd do is both talk about how we got into WordPress, and then that'll take us up to the point where we sort of joined forces, and then we can talk a little bit about High Rise Digital, how that's gone from when we started to obviously present day. That's the plan anyway, so hopefully that'll be good. So first seeing WordPress was back in 2005, I think it was the December or just late in 2005. And I was messing around with the web, essentially because I used to be a teacher and I was tasked with learning how to put some content online. E-learning was a very new thing back then. And as a school, they wanted to get some resources for kids online so that they could do some home learning and stuff like that. And so I was tasked with doing that. And I found WordPress. Do you know, I can't remember how I actually found it, but I remember finding it and thinking, oh, this would be really good because I can let other people update the content, essentially. And then we had at the time I don't know what his role was, but he was like an e-learning manager. And he was tasked with building some online stuff as well, but that was for the external presence of the school, not the internal stuff. So I asked him a few questions on how to do a few things, which lit a few fires and like got me really excited and interested about this stuff. You know, it's like the first instruction for WordPress was like, you've got to create a database. And I was like, what's one of them? And I don't know how to do like MySQL. And he like set me up with a new database and then I could connect that up and sort of like that. And I got WordPress installed and set up, which was good. So that was back in 2005. And then I built a lot of sites for lots of different subjects in school. They all saw ours in geography. I was a geography teacher at the time and kind of like liked the idea that they could put stuff online for kids, and then built some for the other subjects. And then it kind of escalated from there, really. Ended up doing the school website using WordPress, a couple of iterations of that, and then started to freelance. So kind of enjoyed building websites using WordPress, learned a lot more about it. And this was just trial and error. This was just, you know, old school WordPress, change a file, save it, upload it via FTP, refresh the page. What does it do? And then that's how I learned, really, just purely trial and error. I just so enjoyed that. You know, you could literally see the fruits of your work happening in front of your eyes, couldn't you? Because you were making changes live and then you were just getting feedback all the time. What's happening? What's it doing? What's this thing happening?
I still find that, sorry.
Yeah, it was great. So that was that. And then I finally gave up teaching. I think that was in about 2014, I think it was. Did some freelancing full time. Just before I did that, I was working a lot for two agencies. That was Pixel Junction, who were based in the Lake District, and Compass Design, who were based in around Birmingham. Did some work, lots of work for them. And then once that became obvious that I would be able to make a living from it, it became obvious that I didn't want to be a teacher anymore, and then left that and went to do some work as a freelancer. So that was kind of how I got into it and my story. Yeah. Keith, what about you?
Yeah, hopefully my audio's... Hopefully.
Your audio's good. I'm getting a bit of an echo. I can hear me in your audio, but...
Oh, my goodness.
But you sound great.
Good.
I might try.
Yeah, okay. So similar in the sense that you're kind of self, you're kind of self-taught. But I started, I was
doing it again. Sorry,
is it no good? No good.
No, still echoing away.
Right. Let me try something.
Is it just the mic you're using?
I use this mic every day. So
I just wonder if the cable's a bit iffy.
One more try.
Let us know in the comments, how did you get into WordPress? That'd be interesting to know as well. I bet we've all got a really different journey, and it'd be nice to see what other people have how they've got into it as well. Let us know in the comments. While Keith's doing that, I'll do the usual sort of housekeeping stuff. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, please do. It really helps us out and gives us a bit of a boost. If you like the video, that would be appreciative, even though the audio has been terrible, but I mind. And if you would hit the notification bell to get any updates delivered to you, that'd be great.
Yeah, apparently it's a stream issue. I think it's happening on Mark also. Feels like the echo is kind of buffering, like weird. Is that any better for you, Mark? Because like you're coming through to me, okay, but
still doing it a little bit.
Yeah, could be this rude. Right, should I, if it's terrible, it's terrible. I don't think I've got too many more options at this point, unless I literally try to ditch the mic. I don't think it's my kit. I think connection. To be honest, situation. But
kill it and come back on, I guess. But don't know.
I could try. Yeah, only bad. Okay, right.
Try that. It's only bad for Keith. So
hang on a sec. Try.
Oh well. Hopefully they'll come back in a minute. I'll be left here to chat to you on my own. Fingers crossed. I've never had this before. We use StreamYard to do the audio and the video for YouTube. It's actually really, really good. Dead easy to use. And I've not come across this before with this issue. So hopefully that'll be that. TLC Online Channel says, I started using... let me put this on the screen. I started using Serif WebPour. And then moved to Adobe Dreamweaver. I remember Adobe Dreamweaver. And then onto WordPress in 2012. Yeah, I used Dreamweaver back in education before, when I started learning HTML and how to then moved on to WordPress. That was a long time.
Yeah.
Pro, Serif Pro.
Pro, yeah. Yeah. Okay, better? Any better? Mark, what do you think? Oh, any better? Still terrible? No good?
Not really. I wonder why it's only you then, which is weird. Strange, not sure. Anybody else? Any comments about how they started for WordPress? Would be good to get some ideas. Microsoft Front Page, says Sam, and he really loved that software. I don't think I use Microsoft Front Page. I think that one bypassed me. I don't know whether that was before Dreamweaver or whether that was after Dreamweaver or alongside it. But I remember people using it. I remember people talking about it as well. But I never actually used it myself.
Yeah. Everyone's trying to help me on tech support in the comments. Thanks for everyone that's trying to help me through this. But
that sounds better for me now.
Yeah. All right. Should we go with that?
Give it a go.
Right, here we go. Let's try this again. So yeah, started off. So I was in a kind of not a great place, kind of career wise. So been to uni, hadn't done brilliantly at university, kind of just drifted through that, not really knowing what I wanted to do. Did a couple of seasons in a ski resort, which was fun, but ultimately it was just a short-term thing. Ended up back home, living with my parents, in a couple of like dead-end sort of jobs. And my brother was studying computer science, and he had a like HTML in 24 hours book. So in the evenings, I just started... Yeah, going through the book, building my first web page. Then I bought a second book, and I can't remember what it was called, but it was by Simon Collison. I think it was like called Professional CSS or something like that. And it was one of those, like moments of like perfect timing, because it was just as like we were coming away from like table-based stuff, and there was like CSS was like amazing. It was the days of CSS Zen Garden and everything, and just like a super exciting time for CSS and the web, really. So I started playing with that. And because I came in at that moment in time, the stuff I was doing was like already better than like most of what was online at that time. Like it was still all the table-based stuff. So that gave me like loads of confidence. Like even though I was like brand new, I was like doing good work. And it really worked for me in the sense of like that marriage of kind of creativity and the technical, which I've always been into. I've always loved. I wanted to be a music producer for the same reasons. So I started just learning that in my spare time, after work, like in the evenings. Picked up a couple of gigs, like doing a couple of like super basic websites for friends and family. Yeah. And then I kind of got a big break because my uncle was a member of like an arts institution in Northern Ireland, and they needed a website. And it's like it was the Royal Academy of Arts, and they had a bit of a budget. And it was the first time someone had paid me like half decent amount of money to build a website. By this time, I'd moved to London to live with my girlfriend. So I was working in a bar, still trying to like learn the web side of things on the side and like get my first few clients. So yeah. And then another kind of fairly big breakthrough for me was the WordPress London meetup group. So I remember like sitting in my bedroom in London all the time thinking, I'm in this city with all these amazing people. Like there must be other people building WordPress sites. Oh, so I'd formed WordPress along the way because that first big client of mine wanted to be able to manage the content. So there was a lot of art. They wanted to be able to add the images and everything. So I researched content management systems, found WordPress. It was the big thing at the time. So jumped straight into that. So then when I got to London, it's like, I need to find some WordPress people. So I looked and there was a site called Meetup. And I was like, okay. So I searched on Meetup. I was like, WordPress, London. I was like, no results. And then there was a big button saying, this meetup doesn't exist. Do you want to start it? So I hit the button. Started the WordPress London meetup and then ran that for 3 years. That could be a whole show in itself, the running that, because there was some drama along the ways for that. But that was great. So grew that to like one of the, I think it was one of the world's biggest WordPress meetups at that time. Ran that for 3 years, and then I'd left London. And I wanted to kind of pass that on to someone else. I'd done that for long enough. But during that time, or around that time, we met.
We did. 2014,
at WordPress London. Yeah.
You weren't running it though then, were you? But you were an attendee, weren't you?
I think that's right. I think I'd passed it on by that stage. I could be wrong. But yeah, we were both at the event and you were speaking. Yeah.
I was speaking about using like deployment tools rather than FTP and stuff like that, which is quite good. And then we checked this yesterday, didn't we? Because I actually almost applied for your I don't know whether you put it out on Twitter or you'd put it on, I don't know. Was it on like a WordCamp or something, like a jobs board? You put that you needed some help for freelancing help. And I replied to your call of help, basically.
Yeah.
and passed your coding test, which was good. At least about that.
I think I got you to do something. I asked you to do something that I thought should use pre-get posts. And if you knew what pre-get posts was and how to use it, then you were the right man for the job.
Perfect.
And you did.
Yeah, there you go. Which is good. So that's how that came about. And then so after that, we worked for 2 years together on numerous projects together. I did some other stuff outside of that, but essentially was working with you most of the time on some projects. And so we've got written down here with the projects we worked on. So the first project that I got involved was with the City Owl. What I can't remember what it was now, because it's not online, is it now?
No, I think it was a blog for people that worked in the city, basically. But right. I think it was reviews on like cafes,
restaurants and things, yeah.
Restaurants and stuff like in the city of London. It was basically what you need to know about living and working in the city, right. Basically. Right. Yeah,
I can't actually remember what I did on that, but that was one of the projects we worked on. And then we worked on a website for TUI, which wasn't the website for TUI, but it was like I can't remember what the sort of side angle was.
It wasn't an intranet, was it?
No, I don't think I'm not sure. Not sure, but it's definitely something for TUI. I remember doing that, and that was...
Or a career, was it a career site or something? It was something kind of like internal. It wasn't like TUI's internal. I think it was a career site.
Could have been a careers one. Yeah. Interesting. Based on where we are now.
Yeah.
We knew all that time ago. Anyway, so that was that one. Yeah. And then one with the other one that we worked on as freelancers together was the NDEP, which I can't remember what it stands for now. NDEP.
Oh my goodness. It was a banking one. It was it was the EBRD Bank. It was one of their projects. That was it. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that's still around.
Northern Dimension Environmental Partnership, I think it sounds.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, very good. Yeah, I'd done loads of work for that bank.
That's still online.
What's that? The website that we made? Oh my God.
Yeah, it's still online. ndep.ebrd.com.
Wow. There we go.
Help me upgrade WordPress.
That is years ago. That's old. Yeah.
Yeah, that's old. So yeah, so we worked for a couple of years on those projects. And then during that time, it kind of became obvious that the skill sets were really good. So if you don't know, Keith does more front-end CSS design, and I obviously do more back-end PHP stuff. So the fact that we did those, and what we found is what I found anyway, was I was just able to specialize a lot more. Like, because I used to do the CSS for projects, and it wasn't really the bit that I enjoyed. It was the painful point, you know, of a project. And actually now I could just hand that over to someone else to do, and it's brilliant. And I could focus on getting really good and much better at the stuff I was interested in. Really did help a lot that.
And same for me in the other direction. Like I think I enjoyed working with PHP and doing that side of things, but I knew that I couldn't be good like at both. Like I just didn't have the mental capacity to. That I'd get into the PHP world for a while and be like, oh yeah, okay. So I've learned that new thing, that new bit of syntax, or oh, I should do it this way. And then I'd do a bunch of CSS work and come back to PHP, and I'd forgotten all the stuff I'd learned about PHP. And I was just like, I never felt like I got to a certain level, then it was just doing this all the time, like I wasn't actually growing. So yeah, it was definitely good for me to be able to focus more on the front end. But also I think our personalities as well, like match, because we're definitely not the same, but we're similar enough. I think it's like we shared common principles or something. There was something that I sort of what I want to come back to at the end. Actually, we can leave that for later. But like, why has it worked? But let's come back to that after we've told a bit more of the high rise story.
So how did high rise begin, Keith? Tell the viewers how high rise begin.
Well, after working with you for a couple of years, I'd always had ideas of grandeur. So like, I didn't want to be a freelancer forever. I wanted to grow something bigger. And I think I proposed to you one day, basically. I said, okay. Mark, you know, we've been going steady for 2 years now. I think it's time we make this more serious and more permanent. So I think I did literally like kind of propose that like a partnership with you. And I seem to remember you having some resistance to that. I think I think you were enjoying being a freelancer and you were enjoying the freedom of it, and it was kind of, it was new. It was newer to you. I'd been doing that for longer. So you were kind of, yeah, you weren't maybe in that headspace of like, yeah, we, you know, you want to grow something or do something with somebody else. So I think it took a little bit of convincing. I don't know if you remember that the same way.
Yeah, I remember not. I think I remember being like thinking at the time, like I'm enjoying what we're doing at the moment, really.
Yeah.
Earning reasonable money from it. I'm enjoying the freedoms. So it was more of like, why would I want to stop doing that or change, really? That was more the thought process. But as it happened, not an awful lot's changed, really, except the fact it's, you know, it's more, it's a business and not too freelance. It makes more sense for clients in a way, which is good.
Yeah.
So, excuse me. I seem to remember going to London.
We went to the Welcome Centre.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember the building. I don't know where it is in London, though.
It's opposite Euston.
Yeah, it's basically not far away from the train station, is it?
And it was just a nice, it's kind of nice cafe. Well, sort of nice cafe. It was quite busy. But didn't we go to London for the overnight, though? We like met up.
Can't remember.
Were we just there for the day? I can't remember.
Presumably either. Overnight. I don't think, usually I wouldn't go down to London just for a...
I think it was, yeah. Anyway, so we met up just to basically like talk through how it might work and what it might look like. And we decided that everything would be 50-50. We decided that everything would be, you know, I'd bring current clients in to the business. You'd bring, you know, your clients and products and things into the business. So we'd just be like, it was literally just like merging our two entities together, like equally, which was
what
great.
What was also good about that meeting is when we were talking about like what would our role be in the business. There was literally no like, oh, but I wanted to do that.
No.
It was like, so I was like, well, I quite like doing the financial stuff and looking after the accounts and stuff. And you were like, oh, great, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you were like, well, I quite like the sales and marketing stuff. And I was like, oh, great, because I hate that. So
yeah,
it was good.
Interesting how that's turned out, though. You do more of that than I do these days. You're the finance and the sales and marketing departments.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, but only for the product, I think.
Yeah.
That's a good point, yeah. True. And then High Rise Digital, the name was just...
Up. Coming up with a name, though.
That was really hard.
It's horrible. So, yeah, I don't know exactly how High Rise came into my head. I think I was thinking about, like, the city, and we were in London, and skyscrapers, and I thought something digital. But, like, we came up with loads of good names. They were just all taken.
Yeah, it really was.
Everything was taken.
And I think we settled on digital for a while, didn't we? Something digital.
You know, I liked digital.
Liked that, and it wasn't too specific as well. It was kind of, we do stuff with digital. I think that was quite nice. So we wanted something to go with digital. And then you just came up with High Rise, and it was just really good. It was like the High Rise, like aiming high for, like, you know, best products. We're both really tall, so that made sense. I think it's just a really good name. And then when you said it, I was like, oh, that's bound to be taken. And it's like, no, every domain was free. It's like, right, that's it. Bye.
Yeah. So that was that. I don't know if I regret the name at all. I think it's been quite a good name. I still like it today.
Yeah, good.
The
only thing we couldn't get was the Twitter handle. I remember some band had it or something, and we've got it now. But we had to wait, and then I can't even remember how we got it now. I think it was emailed Twitter at some point and said they're not be using it, and they said
we did, and then like months later they said you can have it.
So, we had to have some. Come on, we had before. Was it the High Rise Team or something we had before as the Twitter handle? I think it's more like that.
Yeah,
it was interesting. But yeah, I was doing. We couldn't get. So that takes us up to when did we start? 2016, wasn't it?
2016. Yeah,
February, I think it was. We actually incorporated a business, February 2016. So notables then. First project.
I don't know.
Looking back at the invoicing, the first two invoices were one for VGC Group, who we did a lot of work for, which was your client. And I think, what was the invoice for?
That site's still online.
Yeah. That was for like maintenance and some support on something. So that was the first. That's invoice like number one. And then the other invoice was for another agency who wanted to do some site migrations, which I did, I think. That was either invoice, just a couple of hours work. That's the first two projects we did as high-rise digital.
Yeah.
And I remember at that point as well, did we take a salary?
We were paying ourselves as little as possible. I think we were paying ourselves the base salary, weren't we?
But I think from memory, we didn't take a salary from the February until the start of the tax year. Because I think we started High Rise Digital at the start of that tax year almost.
Yes, that's right.
I remember we had to wait ages for the bank account as well. Do you not remember that?
It was a pain.
The pain messing around with the bank account. We couldn't get invoices out and stuff. I remember that. It was like 2 or 3 weeks. It was a right pain. But eventually it got sorted, obviously, and it was good.
Yeah.
So, big projects. What have been our big projects over the last 7 years?
There's been a few. Like, so much I can't remember. Like, even I looked back through some of the early emails between you and me pre-high-rise, and I was like, remember that. And some of them, like, I actually don't remember. Like, even reading the emails, I'm like, this is not jogging any memories at all, which is quite worrying. But I think a project that really stands out for me is the work we did for TOMD, which was building multiple multi-site networks that ended up with thousands of websites running off them.
Cool,
very, right? Very, in a very short space of time. I think that was some of our best strategic and technical work. But also it was very, very challenging, wasn't it? For various reasons, which I don't want to go into all of them.
It was good.
It was mostly good. Yeah.
It was challenging but doable, solving real world problems for someone that wants to do something. It was one of those projects that sits right in your sweet spot, in that, like, the 80% of it you can do, but then there's a little bit on top of that which you don't know how to do, but it's still in your area, so you're not, you know, you're confident you'll be able to do it. Whereas, you know, those projects where you're like, it's 50% I know how to do, and it's 50% where I haven't a clue, and I'll be, you know, you get worried about, I get nervous about it, like, will we be able to deliver it? But that was a really good, sat really well for us. And we worked with them for like two years, was it? Something like that? 3 years maybe? It's a lot, wasn't it?
I'd say they're probably still our biggest client in terms of the amount they paid us over those years.
Yeah. And a lovely team, really nice to work with as well. I really enjoyed working with those and the team that we work with. That was good.
Any other really big ones that stand out, particularly like in the earlier days? I can't really think of like too many mega projects. We did have some that we took on that we didn't end up delivering for various reasons. We've taken on the odd project where it became pretty clear early on that we weren't the right team.
Yep.
Either from a kind of personal point of view or from a technical point of view. Something I'm quite proud of actually is that we made those difficult decisions when they needed to be made. Like whenever we realized, we were like, no, this isn't right. We're gonna have that difficult conversation and we're gonna end it, which I think was the right thing for every party. So there are a few things like that happened along the way. Are we allowed to talk about that? We're not allowed to talk about all the sites. The Squarespace to WordPress migration project that we did was quite big.
That was a good one.
And that was a good one. Again, challenging. High standards on that because it was a really successful blog.
And it worked.
So from an SEO point of view, from a like everything just needed to be spot on. And that was a really good project for us, I thought.
Yeah, it's a good site as well. Yeah, it worked well. Yeah. And then recently
you can continue with the project stuff.
Gonna say recently the project we've worked with Precision Microdrives, that's probably been one of our
biggest
Builds as a project.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite projects, actually.
That was really good. Lovely team as well. Love working with them. Really good. And they've got some other work for us to do coming up after I get back off my short break, which is nice. That was design and build as well, which is good.
Yeah,
it's good.
That's a good one. PrecisionMicrodrives.com if you want to check it out. I think defining parts of our journey was starting to grow a team. So we wanted to take on some members of staff and grow something. And I look back on that period with great, great fondness and some regret as well. So I think we ended up hiring, so there was Sam, Gemma,
Jonathan.
Hannah worked with us part-time. Yep. And like just all such like great people, and for various reasons, you know, it just didn't work out. And I think most of it was down to us, really. In a way, I don't know if we weren't. When I look back, I think we needed to either stay the way we were, small, I'd like a two-person team, or we needed to get to about eight people. And we were in that awkward phase in the middle where it felt like we didn't have the scale to make managing people worthwhile.
Exactly, yeah. I think my lesson from that was that, and it'd be different for everyone that goes through it, so don't like take this as a rule to follow, but from my experience of having done that, we decided to hire when we had like too much work for the two of us. Essentially, we could have, you know, we thought at the time, we've got lots of inquiries coming in, we can take on all this work, but we can't because there's only two of us. And when we decided to hire, which on the face of it makes sense, but actually it didn't make any sense, because once you hire someone, you obviously have to look after and manage that person. So you actually, in many ways, your capacity shrinks slightly. Yeah. And what I think we should have done, and I would probably suggest for other people to try this out, is to perhaps do some external freelancing and get people in on freelance basis to do the jobs. What you really need is, I think, you need to get to a point where you've got enough work for six people, then you can take on another person or two more people. Because you end up losing capacity in your own job for what you're doing, because you're helping and managing other people, which is inevitable.
Yeah.
And we never got that balance right, being able to provide that sort of support and you know, getting people through it, I think. And I do think that was us, though. I think that was them. So.
Yeah, and I think part of the difficulty as well is that we were hiring people to kind of replace what we do. And I know that sort of sounds obvious and makes sense, but what I mean is, like, right, like today, if we wanted to hire someone, like say we wanted to hire a designer, I could just completely walk away from design and just be like, that person is now the designer and does all the design work. But because we were asking people to do the work that we were also doing on a day-to-day basis, I felt like you're right, kind of micromanaging a little bit, or you're not kind of getting involved enough, or there's that whole like difficulty around, you know, doing things our way versus doing things the way that like they'd learned. And like, yeah, it was, we were too small and too inexperienced, I think, to kind of handle that. But yeah, so that was interesting. But then, so we ended up going back down to just the two of us eventually, because it just financially it just wasn't working. It was fun, and that ski trip that we had with Jonathan and Hannah is my absolute highlight of our journey so far. So like, it was such good times. But we went back down to the two of us, and luckily we did so, because the next thing that happened was a global pandemic right around that time. So it was very good timing from our point of view. That was good. But yeah, thanks to those people for being part of that journey, because it was an absolute pleasure working with every one of them. So other notable things, this podcast, kind of
yeah.
What one of the kind of strings to our bow? I think I don't know really why we started this. It was just to kind of a bit of fun. I think it was because we were always just chatting about WordPress, and I just thought some of those conversations were reasonably interesting. And like,
I think you said one day, like you said, I think we would like jump on a hangout like we did and like start chatting about stuff. And then you said it'd be really good to record these because I'm sure people would be interested in these discussions. I think I just said, well, let's do it. Let's just put it on there. I'll put it online almost. And that was what we did. We took about 5 seconds to decide on WP Cafe.
Exactly.
And that was it, really.
But it started off as like an interview, kind of topic based show. So we had some pretty big guests. One of the highlights for me was the show with Elliot and Elliot Condon and John James Jacoby. That was probably my favorite show. Just good guests, good energy, interesting topics that we were all kind of into, and that was good.
But I soon found out like it's hard, like being
so difficult
being the interviewer. So I think that's why we moved it to more this format, because it's just an easy chat, really. And like, it's great to get comments and feedback and people involved in the chat and things as well. It's just a chat, and that's
the one that pushed me over the edge was the Matt Mullenweg and Josefa show. Cause like that should have been the highlight. That should have been the pinnacle and like the crowning glory, but it was the complete opposite. And I just felt totally deflated, and I just thought, you know what, that's not for me.
But
we didn't want to stop the show, so that's why we moved to this format. And like you say, we're not getting as the massive viewer numbers. Not that they're ever massive. We're not getting the viewer numbers we did for those kind of shows. But who cares?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have a chat and people enjoy it. Then great. That's good. That's all it needs, really. And then it's good. So that's this.
You haven't talked about WP Broadbean yet.
No. I suppose we should. So that was my product, which we was part of our merge came into the business. So that was an open source plugin for integrating WordPress with Broadbean. If you don't know what Broadbean is, it's a multi-posting job system, so you can post jobs to multiple destinations. That came in as part of that, and then that was kind of the birthplace of the new product that we've got, Job Relay, wasn't it? And it went through several iterations of getting better as a product. And then it went through iterations of being an add-on for another plugin. And then it's gone into what it is now, which is essentially a service that can be used by anyone with any plugin on WordPress to use jobs with, which is good. So, which has been super, super successful to date. Love it. Love that product, still working well.
Yeah.
And really excited for our new one as well, which is coming up. And we've got, I think we've had like 5 sales calls and sold 4, I think.
Yeah. So,
it's been pretty
good.
It's
going well. But that's all coincided as well with a shift in like our whole business towards recruitment. So very, very consciously, we decided, I guess that was probably during the pandemic as well. To go for it towards the recruitment industry. So like we had these recruitment WordPress products, but then we were still building websites for anybody, and actually we weren't building any recruitment websites at all. Mm-hmm. And it just felt a bit weird, and it felt that we should probably marry the two together. And so that's what we've tried to do, which very quickly led to one of our best projects, I would say. Which is the work that we did for the SR group. So a global recruiter with, multiple brands on a multi-site, multilingual, fancy job board, lovely team. Just I think an absolutely wonderful project for us. Again, one of those ones that's like pushes you slightly outside your comfort zone, but you're well enough within it to feel like you're competent and doing a good job, which I think we did. But interestingly, I don't think that project is sparked off the flow of leads that I was hoping for within that market. I hoped a lot of people would see that and come to us, you know, saying, oh, I've seen the work you've done on that. But that hasn't really happened yet. We have been working with more and more recruiters, which is great. But then that in itself has also led to the kind of time we've had available to build this new job board product. So,
It's interesting because you mentioned about like not getting the clients on the back of that work we did for the SR group. I thought the same. I thought it might spark people's interest. Oh, they built that, it might be interesting. And like, we built a website last year for the Perth School, which is it an independent school? Is that what you call it? In Cambridgeshire. Lovely team as well. Again, really went well. Still work with them today. And the number of inquiries we've had from other schools with like wanting this scene, that one has been like 4 or 5, I think we've had. Which I kind of expected and hoped for off that project. That's not really happened. So,
yeah, exactly.
These things happen, don't they?
So that's kind of, is that where we are today, really?
We've just got our new job board product out.
Which we don't have a name for yet. Well, we think we do, but we're not going to say it. I'm not going to say it until we've registered that domain name.
I've had it with names. I just picked the first one that comes to it.
I know. I just asked. But
it's a good one. It's a good one. I like it.
It is a good one. So I don't want to look too far into the future, I don't think, because that's not what this is about. And we've already been prattling on.
For long enough. We've had some comments. Let's put some comments in, people who've been chatting in the chat. Thank you for all your comments. So let me go up to the top and find out where it was. Here we go. Tony said, this was about like when, how did you get into WordPress? Tony said, I was freelancing mainly email systems and I was looking at various CMS systems, Joomla, et cetera, but found WP WordPress so easy to use and install. I was hooked.
Similar
to me. I'm a little bit different in that I found WordPress first. A lot of people seem to have tried other CMSs like Drupal and Joomla, and then they found WordPress and, oh, that's the one for me.
Same.
Whereas I've never used those other ones because I just found WordPress first.
Yeah, same.
So that's interesting. Munch92 says, fell into it 5 years ago when I worked in sales for an agency. I liked what the dev team were doing and gave it a go and never looked back. Yeah, interesting. When you say, I wonder, like, gave it a go, did the dev team let you have a go at something? Or did you do something like Keith was doing, like, in the evenings to learn it and stuff? Peter... Oops, can't press show. There we go. Built data-driven sites using Cold Fusion for a newspaper in the 90s. I've heard of Cold Fusion, but I don't know what it is. I presume it's like a CMS or something. Then web dev for an agency. Then onto logistics. Still CF. Years later, hired a guy who showed me WordPress. I've been WordPress ever since. And then that's Peter great. Also says WordPress gave me the opportunity to be self-employed since 2015. Yeah, similar. I was 2014 when I left teaching. So that was a similar journey to me in terms of time scales doing it. WordPress London. Someone's asking when the next meetup is. Not quite sure, but it should be happening soon, I think. And then what's the next one? There's one I wanted to go and I can't find it. Oh, someone said, here we go. Why did the episode not go well? Which is the one with Matt and Josepha. I don't think it was as bad as you make out it was as bad. I felt the same, though. But go and watch it and let us know what you think.
Yeah, I felt... I was nervous, and I think that comes across.
Yeah.
Matt was a bit spiky, I would say.
Yep, a little bit.
A bit defensive. Made it all a little bit difficult, to be honest.
Joel says, if you're allowed to talk about it, for clients you had to have difficult conversations with, were you tempted to outsource those projects or did you assist with finding the right team for them? No and no is the answer to that question, really. So interestingly, I can think of one of these that was, we were taking on another website, one of their websites to maintain it and build extra features. And during the course of the sales and so forth, those extra features that we were building were well within our capabilities, etc. But it became obvious in the first 2 weeks of so working on this site that the team we were working with weren't going to be particularly right for us.
For us.
Clash of personalities, maybe.
I'm back.
But more importantly, the website was in a bit of a state, and it was so in a mess that we just felt at one point, I think me and Keith said, we just can't work with this. We're just not providing any value at all here. So we had that difficult conversation that we were going to walk away from the project. But what we did was we just refunded the client the money that they paid, which was the easiest way of doing it. Like, we provided no value for them, so that made sense at the time. So that was what we did in that project. I'm sure there's been a few other ones as well, but that's the one that sticks in my mind as the one we had to do. I think Keith's having more trouble with his audio. Hopefully you can still hear me, but there we go. Munch says, links, please. I assume you mean the link to the episode. We can find that. I don't think Keith can hear us. Hopefully everyone else can hear us. Let me know if you can't hear me in the comments, please. I will get open the link to the episodes. Let me find them first. Playlists. The best place to go if you want to listen to the podcast is the playlist, which is here. And I think it was episode 12 from memory. No, it wasn't. 13. Episode 13. Unlucky 13. Was the one where it was. Let me copy the link for that and I'll put it in the chat if I can find out how to do that. Copy link address. There we go. That is the link to the episode with Matt and Joseph, if you want to listen and watch that. Anyway, on that note, I think we'll better wrap it up, seeing as Keith seems to have died, his audio and so forth. So thank you for watching us. Thanks for watching and listening for these 50 episodes. We really appreciate you listening along. And let's hope we have another 50 episodes. And we might not be here next week because I'm away.
Oh, yeah.
Unless Keith wants to go solo. But we'll see you 2 weeks for this.
Can I ask Matt if he wants to come on for another show? No, sorry for all the technical issues today, folks. What a way to mark our 50th. But there you go. Like Mark says, we'll see you next time.